Gentlemen, welcome to the Alpha M podcast. Wherever you are right now listening to this, I want to thank you for your support. In this podcast, you'll get my views on lifestyle, self-improvement, and business, all in an aim to unlocking your confidence and helping you feel the best you can every day of your life. Also, at any time during this podcast or if any of my videos have helped you in the past, please feel free to leave a rating and a review on the platform you're listening to this. 5 stars, of course, would be awesome, but I'll leave that up to you. Every week, we're going to read out and feature a few of my personal favorite reviews. So lock in and enjoy today's episode. Gentlemen, welcome to the second episode of Ask Alpha, where I am going to dive into some of your hard-hitting and personal questions. Today, we've got a great show for you. I'm so excited and thankful to be here, guys. I'm loving this platform. I'm loving this format. And I'm loving being able to connect you on a different and deeper level than I do and get to on my Alpha M YouTube channel, all right? So today we're gonna talk a little bit about my role models. I've got 3 of them, and this is a very important topic. And something that is definitely near and dear to me because of the impact of 3 specific men in my life. The other thing we're gonna talk about is starting a business. Gonna also talk a little bit about confidence, not to mention getting older and dealing with it and how you stay super cool and sexy as you age. Guys, regardless of the platform that you're listening to this on, I would appreciate a review and possibly a rating. It really would help me. And each week, I'm gonna read out my favorite, just like today, from our friend Colin Ridier, who says, "I've watched the YouTube channel for years, and that has truly been life-changing. This is getting to know you on a better level. With open and honest advice and insight. Thanks, Colin." Colin, thank you, and thank each and every one of you for taking part in this episode and being a part of this process and journey that I am on. And so without any further ado, let's dive in to Ask Alpha. So the first question comes from our friend Style Club 40. He says, "I just turned 40. How do you deal with getting older but still remaining awesome?" Good question. I think the tip and the takeaway for this is don't try and be something that you're not. Don't try to be younger than you are. Embrace your age. Now, that is not something that I always thought that I'd be able to do. I thought literally in my 30s that I would be the dude that was coloring my hair. I thought I'd be the dude that was getting Botox and being all weird about wrinkles and getting older and, oh my God, what am I gonna do? And to be honest with you guys, the older I get, the more I'm just like, yo, this is kind of cool. I'm good, right? And I think really for me, it boils down to taking care of yourself. You know, the one takeaway I'll give you is if you eat right, if you take care of your body physically, if you don't smoke, you don't abuse drugs, you don't do those things, guys, you put on sunscreen, you use moisturizer, you use Tee Shanley, you're gonna look great for your age. Now, do I look like I'm 25 years old? No. Am I okay not looking 25? Yes. Do I look young for 43? The answer is hell yeah. When I went back to my family or my high school reunion like 5 years ago, when I walked in there and I saw all the dudes that I graduated with, they literally looked 10 years older than me. And I take it that it was because they lived a different lifestyle than I did. I live a very healthy lifestyle. And so it matters. It makes a difference. Exercising, breaking a sweat every single day, you know, using your moisturizer, using your night cream, you know, applying an anti-aging serum. These are all things that are going to help you look younger longer. Now, the one thing I would do, if I notice that I start losing my hair, I am like, without a doubt, I'm calling my boys over at Bosley and being like, yo, it's Alpha, you know, I need the hotline, help me, it's falling out, do something about it. Now, this isn't a promotion for Bosley, but there are things that you can do, right? Propecia, Rogaine, things that are topical, things that you can take that will help chill out your hair loss. But don't wait. Like, if you notice it, like, do something about it. And if it's starting to go, guys, do something about it. You know, go check out or talk to, you know, the guys over at Bosley. They definitely can help you at any stage of hair loss. But like I said, not a promotion for Bosley, even though I love Bosley and I think they are amazing. They're like the hair doctors. Dude, come on. But getting older, I think it's all about just embracing it and loving it. Don't trying to look younger than you are and Meaning, like, don't try and dress like you're 22 if you're 45. Because I think that's what makes people look awkward. Also, like, the older dudes that, like, are obviously, like, in their 50s or 60s and they've got, like, the jet black hair, that also, a little weird. A great product, though, is Control GX by Just For Men in terms of modifying the grain, just toning it down a little bit. There's some bonus tips for you. Next question comes from our friend Christian. He says, what does being a man mean to you? Being a man means being a good dude. It means having integrity. It means having, you know, good, solid moral compass and character. You know, that's what being a man means to me. It's not about how many women you sleep with. It's not about if you're gay or straight. Being a man is being responsible, being resourceful, being a man of your word. You know, saying what you mean and meaning what you say and doing what you say you're going to do. You know, you don't need to put on an act. Being comfortable in your own skin, right? This is what it means to be a man, in my opinion. You know, it breaks my heart when I hear about all these stories from these women that have gotten pregnant by these dudes. Now, I get it, right? It takes two and all that good stuff. You know, a man takes care of his responsibilities. He pays for a child. He's in the child's life. He does what he needs to do. Not just knock somebody up, you know, that's the easy part. You know, doing what's hard, doing what's not necessarily comfortable, that's more challenging, and that's what a man does, in my opinion. A man is courteous, he's friendly, he is in touch with his emotions, he's not afraid to shoulder responsibility and take the bull by the horns. I've said like 10,000 cliches in here, but honestly, I feel like it does boil down to character. If you've got integrity, if you are a man of your word, this is something that is, I think, increasingly rare in today's society, but it's definitely something that I strive for every single day. And it's not easy, though. I mean, it's hard. But being a man, that's what it means to me. Next question comes from a friend of mine that I've met, Alpha M Project alumni, Johnny. Johnny, what's going on? Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you, buddy. It was a lot of fun having you here. Talk about energy. Johnny, you're amazing. You make me seem lazy. But the question, interestingly enough, from Johnny is, how did you deal with procrastination during certain moments in your career? Procrastination, if I'm being completely honest with you guys, procrastination is something I think that we all struggle with at times. But for me, what I've come to realize about myself, if I just bite the bullet and get it done, then I can sort of forget about it. What I try to do is sort of knock things out, right? If things are like sitting there and I have to do it, it occupies so much brain space and it prevents me from truly like being able to move on, put it away and like move on to the next thing. And so for me, you know, in my past, I have struggled with procrastination more, but now it's about realizing that the sooner I get this done, the sooner I can not think about it. And the sooner I can move on to do something else and do something that maybe might be more exciting or something that I'm more, you know, eager to accomplish or go after. But procrastination's a bitch, right? It happens, like I said, to all of us at different degrees and different times in our lives. But for me, at this point, I know that, like, even things like at home, right? Even things and chores that my wife has me do, I think about it, right? If I don't just do it, I'll think about it all day long. I'll think about it until I get it done, and then it's there in my head, as opposed to just getting it done, and then I can sit on the couch, put my hand down my pants, and pet my cat Piglet. So for me now, it's about just get it done, pull the Band-Aid off so that I can move on and move forward. The next question comes from our friend Narcisse. He says, what was the big thing that made you become the person you are today? I don't know if there's one specific thing or two things or three things, but when I look back at my life, you know, some of the pivotal moments basically was being surrounded by love. And, you know, I've sort of unpacked this a little bit more recently than I have in the past. A lot of things were going on when I was younger, right? I started, I was in therapy at the age of like 3 years old. My parents, they had me when they were very young, like 19 and 20, right? And so, you know, as good Italian Catholics do, they got married and they tried to make it work, and it was hard. It was challenging. You know, I think about where I was when I was 20. If I was, you know, if I got the person I was dating when I was 20 pregnant, like, oh my God, like I can't even, I've changed a lot, and you change a lot is what I'm trying to say. But anyway, at the age of three, because we were pretty poor and we were on welfare, there were different programs that that were available for people on welfare. And one of those programs was counseling for children of separated or divorced couples. And so my mom, who was a tree-hugging hippie, was like, yo, if therapy is available, I want my child to be in therapy and to start talking. My mom is a big communicator. And so she, from a very young age, encouraged me to talk about my feelings and express myself. And so being in therapy, being, you know, raised by a woman primarily, you know, I saw my dad every weekend, but the majority of the time I spent with a woman, with my mother. I think being raised by a woman and being more conditioned to express yourself and being okay with feelings, I think that is one thing that has definitely allowed me to communicate and be more open with who I am on the platforms that I'm on and just as a person. So I think that is critical. You know, some other things in that time that were formative but not necessarily amazing were my abusive stepfathers. None of them physically abusive, but they were definitely mentally and emotionally abusive to me and my mother. And so that time really sort of, it changed me. And it changed me not necessarily for the better. I, instead of being this like very jovial, you know, young person or boy who was very comfortable talking and laughing and joking around, started to regress into a shell because I was scared. I didn't want to speak up because I thought in my head, in my warped little brain, I thought that if I stood up for myself when somebody was mean to me, my stepfathers, that I was going to have to move, that my parents or my mom and my stepfather would get a divorce and then we'd have to move again. And so I changed schools a bunch of times. And so one of the sort of defense mechanisms was that because we changed schools, I wanted to be liked so much that I learned to be a chameleon in terms of interacting with a variety of different people. And so even though my home life was very tumultuous, and I don't know if I said that right, tumultuous, I learned to be very good with people because I wanted to fit in. And then another pivotal moment was I got a fitness membership when I was 12 years old. My mom gave me a gym membership, and from there, that's when my confidence and self-discipline started to develop. I loved what the gym and the fitness center represented. I knew at that age that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. You know, but it didn't work out that way, as most of you guys know. I didn't end up finding my fame and fortune in the fitness industry. And it was hard, it was devastating, but one of the other benefits to that time was that I failed. And I truly feel that failure and failing big at that magnitude really also changes you for the better if you're able to pick yourself up and not dwell on the past. And I think that's one of the challenging things that a lot of people face is that, you know, when they're faced with hardship or when they're faced with situations that aren't ideal or that don't go their way, you know, you've got two options. You either, you know, dust yourself off, pick yourself up and get back in the race and try again, or you regress and you stay beaten down and you don't ever get back in the race and you succumb to your insecurity and you don't ultimately achieve your dreams or your goals. I was not going to be that person. And so failing, though, I feel like if you fail, if you grow up poor, I think these are two things that if you can overcome them, they're going to form you into a super strong person, and they're going to make your brain incredibly strong. It doesn't mean it doesn't suck. It doesn't mean it's not painful, failing, but it's necessary. It was necessary for me to evolve as a man, to evolve as a person, and to evolve as an entrepreneur. Before we move on to the next question, I want to talk real quickly about this idea and concept of failure. Because what I've come to realize through trial and error and lots of failures and some successes is that the failures, that's what really teaches you the most about yourself. It's what teaches you the most about what's working, what's not working, and it helps you move forward and progress. If it wasn't for the failures, I wouldn't be the person I am today. You've got to embrace it. Now, is it easy? No. Does it suck? Yes. But you've got to be willing to take a chance and take a risk. It's the people that are able to quiet that little voice in the back of their head that is telling them, you're going to fail, you suck, this is stupid, you're going to lose. If you can quiet that voice and move forward anyway and try it, gentlemen, just try. That's all I ask of you is to try. Put yourself out there. I got to tell you, the scariest things, the scariest decisions, the scariest moves I've ever made professionally and personally have been the ones that have been the most rewarding. Did you hear me? Let me back that up. The things that have scared me the most in terms of trying them and having the biggest potential risk for failure have been the ones that have moved the needle the most and have been the best for me in terms of personal development and financial success. And so for me now, I know that if something scares me, I probably should do it. And that's one of the reasons why I've started this podcast, because it scares me. It scares me to put myself out there to a different platform that I have no idea if it's going to work, if it's not going to work. I have no expectations, but it's the potential is there that this could blow up in my face and it could suck. And you guys are like, yo, Alpha, you're ridiculous. And I'm not listening to this stupid thing. It's a potential risk. But am I going to do it anyway? Yes, because nothing great was ever accomplished because it was easy. Gentlemen, remember that. Speaking of not being easy, the next question comes from our friend Rodrigo. He says, how many companies, brands do you have and how do you manage them all? All right. So let me count. I got Alpha M. All right. That is the number one most important thing that I do on a daily basis is curate and develop content for my Alpha M YouTube channel. From there, I have my Menfluential Media, which is the advertising agency that I started with my best friend from high school, Terry. And the whole way that that happened, I don't talk about Menfluential Media all that much, but the way that that whole thing started was sort of by accident. It was about 4 years ago when I was at my family reunion. And I was down in Atlantic City. My aunt and cousins lived down in Atlantic City. And my best friend, Terry, he's the only person from high school that I kept in contact with. And every year, once a year, he would come up to my family reunion and hang out. And one year, I guess it was like four or five, it's got to be like 4 years ago. He came to a family reunion. He had been in car sales his whole life. Basically, he was the first one of my friends that made like $100,000 a year when he was like 21 years old. I went to college, he went to college, but he dropped out and then he's like, yo, what am I gonna do? I'm really good at talking, I'm really good at selling, let me try car sales. And he was successful like that. And Terry is the best car salesman I've ever, like, not best car salesman, best salesperson that I've ever met. And if you've got the gift of sales, if you've got the gift of gab, you've got the relationship building potential, you know, sales is an amazing way to make a living because the world is always going to need people that can communicate and sell things. And so, you know, if you've got a great personality and you've got good organizational skills, sales is definitely something that you could potentially look into. Anyway, so he was an incredible salesperson, but he had been selling for like 20 years in the car business. He had been through different dealership groups. He had been, you know, upper level management, lower level management, like he's done it all. But he was burnt out and he left. And so we were talking. I'm like, you know, what are you going to do now? He's like, I'm not really sure. I'm kind of, you know, he was having a little bit of a midlife crisis, even though, you know, he was young. He was under 40 at the time. And this was the point in my YouTube career where I was starting to have a little bit of trouble balancing everything. I was getting hit a lot by people saying, hey, will you promote my brand? Will you talk about my brand? At the time, I had already started Pete and Pedro. I had a lot of stuff going on. And back then, when somebody would reach out to me in terms of like a brand deal, all I would do, I would get, like, they'd send me an email, hey, Aaron, we'd love for you to promote whatever, whatever. I would send them a media kit that basically had my rates. I would send it to them and I'd forget about it. If they got back to me, they got back to me. If they didn't, they didn't, and that was that. But I was frustrated. I didn't want to continue to sell me. I didn't want to continue to do or manage that sort of portion of my career because I just want to make videos. This is what I love. This is what I love doing. And so when I heard that he was sort of at this inflection point and crossroads, I thought to myself, I go, you know, do you think you could sell me in terms of advertising? And he's like, yeah, probably. I said, well, I said, okay, how much money do you need to make a year, or I should say a month, in order just to pay your bills? Because up until this point, I really didn't have any employees. I had some people at Pete and Pedro that would help me. I had Debbie, my assistant, who, you know, we had a, anyway, Debbie and I go way back. That's a whole different, you know, animal, and someday I should do
do a whole video about Debbie because we go back to like the fitness center days. Anyway, so I said, how much money do you need to make in order to pay your bills? And he said, $5,000 a month. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pay you $5,000 a month for 3 months. We got to do a test. 3 months. If it doesn't work, if you don't make at least my money back in those 3 months, then this isn't a fit, and we got to at least, you know, agree that we'll still be friends and see each other once a year at family reunions. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. Of course, we're friends, of course. You know, but that's a dangerous thing, right? You know, anytime you go into business with a friend or a family member, you know, there's a risk. There's a risk that it doesn't work out. There's a risk that, you know, it damages your friendship or your family member, friend, or not your family, they're always your family, but it damages your relationship. And so that was something I was concerned about. But luckily for us, we were both grown-ups, and we both, I think, respected and appreciated so much what each person did. And it was an immediate success. Like, I'm talking like overnight, he took the ball, he ran, my income like went like that, because he was able to negotiate better rates, and he was like doing things that I would never be comfortable doing. And so that was amazing. It was so amazing that I told my friend Antonio Centeno, I said, yo, I hired my best friend Terry. He's selling for me. I don't even have to deal with that. He's killing it. And Antonio's like, hey, do you think he'd sell for me? I said, I don't know. I could ask him. And Terry started selling for Antonio. And then that's when the idea happened of, all right, so wait a second. Antonio and I had Men Fluential Comp, or we had StyleCon at that time. We have a network of other guys like us. These brands have more money to spend with other people like us. Why don't we make the connection? Why doesn't Terry negotiate these deals and sell advertising for my friends or our friends, these other influencers, and we'll just take a percentage of what we negotiate for them? And so that was the start of Men Fluential Media, and it's been amazing. We now represent like 30 to 40 guys in our space, and we manage, I think last year, Terry, Brian, his brother, and also Tom, who used to work for Terry in the auto industry or the car business. And so it's this group of three dudes who just crush it. And they literally have managed, I think last year we did over 1,000 different campaigns with different people, and that's a lot. Like it's a lot. And it's been amazing. All right, so YouTube, Alpha M, Men Fluential Media, sorry for going off on a tangent, but I've never really talked about that. Pete and Pedro, my hairstyling product company, Pete and Pedro, what? If you want to hit the link down below, right? Pete and Pedro, sea salt spray is a game changer for the record. I've got Enemy, which now would be the appropriate time to pitch my incredible sunglass company, Enemy Shades. Gentlemen, you see those? For those of you watching this on the Enemy YouTube channel, I am rocking the matte black Enemies silver detail with the gradient lens. These have been out of stock. These are our hottest sellers, guys. They're back in stock right now. There's also going to be a discount code down below, guys, if you want to check out Enemy. Enemies are amazing. The people, the reviews have been loving these shades. We got three styles. We got Enemy Ones. We got Enemy Twos, which are like the classic, like, the Enemy Ones are like the Wayfarer. Enemy Twos are like the Clubmaster. Enemy Threes are like the Aviator, except our Aviators are badass with gradient lenses, Zeiss lenses, Italian acetate, ridiculous. These are the highest quality pair of sunglasses you will ever find for the price, under $100. Guys, any way you want to shake it, you should go and check out Enemy. So Enemy is a brand. Also, Tiege Hanley, as you know, is another one of my companies and brands. And I think that's it. Let me just, hang on. Yes, 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 yes. That's it. Our next question comes from our friend Kendall. He says, what gives you inspiration to start new businesses? Well, every business is a little bit different in terms of the inspiration. For Enemy, the inspiration was simply a word that I saw on a sunglass store. I was in Chicago for a Tiege Hanley meeting. I got done running at Lake Michigan. I stay right there in, like, they call it like the Golden Mile, right? It's a really cool area. And I was running back from the lake every morning. My ritual is to get up really early, go to the Starbucks right next to the hotel. I stay at the Thompson and get a coffee, and then I will go running, you know, before the sun comes up. It's one of my favorite things to do when I travel to Chicago. And when I was walking back from my run, I was walking down Oak Street, and a buddy of mine, Zach, has a sunglass store or an optical store called Glasses Limited. And I was walking by, and on the window there was a sign or a saying that said, "Good is the enemy of great." And I saw that word enemy. I'm like, man, enemy is such a cool word. It's such a cool word. That would make a badass sunglass company. And I'm like, I wonder if there's already a sunglass company out there. And so I went back to my hotel room. I started doing some searches, and there wasn't. And that literally was the inspiration. I was like, I love sunglasses. I was routinely spending $400, $500, $600 on sunglasses. One of my favorite brands is a brand called Retrospects. You know, super cool sunglasses, but expensive. And I was tired of spending that much money. I wanted to see if I could design some that I loved that were less expensive. And so it simply was that word that was the inspiration for the company Enemy. In terms of Pete and Pedro, my inspiration was simply my love of hair products and the fact that I wasn't satisfied with American Crew. That was it. You know, back when I started Pete and Pedro, American Crew was kind of like the predominant company. And then there were some other ones that were, you know, getting ready to start around that time on YouTube, like Hans DeFuco, who, you know, I didn't really love their products. And so I was like, yo, I want to see if I can start my own. Instead of like one or two products being great in a line, I want all of my products to be amazing. And so that's how that sort of inspiration struck. And, you know, all of my businesses are a little bit different. You know, skincare has always been something I've been super passionate about. And I wanted to start a skincare company. And it just so happened that the skincare gods smiled upon me, Robin Kelly, and everything aligned when that relationship kind of came together. And so, you know, I guess it's weird. Like, every business is different, but I look for it. I don't even look for it. They kind of find me, and I just go with it. And some of the businesses that I've started just haven't worked out. You know, I did the teeth whitening thing, Ollie, with some buddies. I tried that. I was really excited at first, and then I lost excitement for it, and I ended up giving it to them and saying, you know what, guys, I'm going to step out of this business. It's not right for me. Same thing with the fashion anchor. I've done a bunch of businesses that I was inspired at one point, but then, you know, I did it for a while, and I kind of lost interest. You know, but I'm not afraid to try things. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But, you know, inspiration, guys, it's about, you know, figuring out what you want to do and go after it. Try it. What do you have to lose? The next question comes from our friend Charlie. He says, top three common daily things that make you truly happy. Truly happy. This is probably pretty easy. Exercising makes me truly happy. I love exercising. Second thing is I love working. I love being creative. I love doing what I do for a living. It makes me incredibly happy to be able to do this. And the third thing that makes me happy is my wife and my family. Just being around them, having their support and love, you know, and if there was like a fourth, it would be my cats. So that's it. Exercise, work, my family, and cats. The next question comes from our friend Seth. He says, what's your opinion on TikTok? Do you plan on entering that platform? So I have checked out TikTok a bunch of times, and I just don't necessarily know that platform is something that I would thrive on or really enjoy. It's fun to watch. Like, I dig it. I think it's cool. But in terms of a platform that I'm going to invest time and energy and resources into, it's probably not going to be for me. You know, I think that in the world of social media, it's tricky, right? Because you try to be, you know, where the action is. You try to be progressive. You try to go on the platforms where people are. I just don't feel like that platform suits itself or lends itself to things that I'm really into or really good at. I think that I'm better in this format, being able to talk, being able to communicate, being able to share more, like, you know, ideas and things of that nature. I think that from what I've seen anyway of TikTok, it's not necessarily something that I think I'd be really great at. Do I think it's cool? Yeah. Do I think it's exploding? Absolutely. It definitely, you can kill some time watching it. But for me, I think I'm going to invest my time in YouTube, Instagram, here on this podcast, you know, little things on Facebook. And I mean, there are so many platforms. I feel like you really need and should like pick and choose if you're going to try and do this as you know, a career, pick and choose a few of them to do like really well, as opposed to doing like all of them and some of them like super half-ass. You know, that's my opinion. Next question comes from our friend Anthony. He says, how do you remain calm and manage panic attacks during social isolation? For me, just to back up a little bit, I had a panic attack or anxiety attack a few weeks ago. I was driving and all of a sudden I started thinking about sort of the magnitude of what was happening, my businesses, my family, my friends, you guys, everything. And I got overwhelmed. I felt like shortness of breath. I got really tight in my chest. I felt like I needed to like rip my skin off. It was a really weird feeling. I'd never experienced that. But I got myself sort of calm and under control. And so for me, what's helped me is just keeping my mind occupied. Exercise. Every day I exercise twice a day. Going out for walks, you know. I think going out and just being in nature and walking around, that makes me feel normal. And so I love doing it. And then working. Working helps me feel normal as well. And so staying busy, staying occupied, and not like obsessing about the fact that, oh God, like what's going to happen? I can't control any of it. The other thing that's helped me is not watching the news or consuming information about the situation that's going on. Like I get it, right? It's bad. It's horrible. A lot of people are suffering. But for me, I don't need to hear it all day long, every day. That does more damage than it does good. And so for me, I've had to sort of back out of that and not consume it. And so those are the things that have helped me manage my stress and anxiety during this shitty situation. And the last question is from our friend Graham. He says, who is your role model? So I've got three role models. My father, Peter Marino, one of the greatest guys I've ever had the pleasure to know, just happens to be my father. And I'm such a lucky dude. Somebody else that has been a huge impact and role model is my wrestling coach, Charlie Kramer. He came into my life when I needed somebody there that wasn't related to me to help me deal with things, because that was the point at which I was going through some really bad, like dark times with my stepfathers. And Charlie Kramer was somebody who took me sort of under his wing and helped me. Wrestling helped me. Wrestling was an amazing sport, not just because it's physically challenging. You know, what wrestling teaches you in terms of your character and your strength, and it's amazing. Wrestling is kind of like life. And when I think about wrestling, right, wrestling is such a pure sport. And what I mean by that is, you know, all these other sports are incredible, like football, you know, great. They've got a team, though, soccer team. You've got all these team elements. Wrestling, it's you, the other person, and some weird ass like singlet that shows your business to the world and these little shoes and funny headgear. And it's you and it's them and it's go. And there is no, it's reality, right? That's like life. It's you versus the other guy. It's you without a bunch of other things or team or people there to help you. It's you, your work, your skill, your discipline, your talent. All of these things are going to determine whether or not you win or you lose. And then what do you do about that? You know, I didn't win every match. You know, how do you handle losing? Because there's nothing more humiliating than getting pinned in front of a crowd full of your friends and family. You want to talk about shitty situation? My God. But wrestling taught me so much about myself, and I'm so thankful that I had that experience. And Charlie Kramer, the man, the myth, the legend, a dear friend of mine and somebody who I've had the privilege and honor to reconnect with over the course of the past year. He's come and actually 2 years. He's spoken at my conference, the Men Influential Conference, the last 2 years. He came and gave a presentation at T. Shanley. And it's funny, but I guess it was about 5 years ago at a friend's wedding. I had not seen my wrestling coach in probably 20 years. And I went through this very deep time of my life where I was sort of very introspective, thinking about the people that really had a dramatic impact on me. And I was being and feeling very thankful and fortunate. And I thought to myself, if I ever have the opportunity to see Charlie Kramer again, I'm gonna let him know exactly how much he meant to me and how he changed my life. And so I was going to a wedding and I knew that he was gonna be there. And so I was like, okay, this is my time. So I hadn't seen the guy in 20 years. I went up to him, we hugged, I said, come here, I gotta tell you something. And I told him, I started crying immediately. I'm about to cry now, but I'm not going to. He started crying, and for like 10 minutes, we just like hugged and talked and cried, and it was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. But he is definitely somebody very special to me and one of my role models. And then third and finally, definitely not least my grandfather, Frank Cassoni, my mother's father. That guy, man, he was a hero of mine. I used to go over to his house on the weekends to help him because he had cancer, his body was starting to fail him. And I would go over and help him for $5, right? And I would work, you know, for him and do different things. And that was a time I was probably, you know, from the age of like 8 to, I don't know, 15, maybe 15 or 16. I would go over there every weekend or often, not every weekend. And I would help him around the house. And that was a time for him to talk to me, tell me stories, and really just bond with an incredible man. And he used to say something to me. He said, "Aaron, an education is never too heavy to carry out of a ditch." And meaning that, you know, regardless of, you know, what you got going on, get an education because it's going to help you. I think that's kind of what it meant. Anyway, hopefully you get it. An education is never too heavy to carry it out of a ditch. And so, you know, manual labor is a tough way to make a living. He was a builder. He worked super hard. He raised an incredible family. And he was one of the most generous men that I've ever met. And just somebody who just was an amazing guy, just an amazing, accomplished man who just I love to death. And, you know, I think about him every day. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap things up. Guys, you are amazing. I would just like to say thank you so much for hanging out with me and asking me these questions. You're amazing. And these questions are really kind of cool for me to sort of go down. You know, some of them are forcing me to go down memory lane a little bit and just think about things a little bit differently than I think I'm used to. And I think that's good. I think thinking and reflecting is definitely healthy for us. And the fact that I get to do it on this platform with you is amazing. Guys, please drop me a review. If you dig this podcast, if you dig me or you dig anything I've ever done, I would appreciate you letting me know and leaving a review. Also, if you want to check out an incredible pair of shades, enemy.com is also amazing. Guys, next week, you're going to love the podcast I got planned for you. It's one of my favorites that we're bringing back for you. Guys, thank you, and I'll see you next week.
Gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode. As always, I appreciate your support. Once again, if you found this episode or any of the content I've put out in the past helpful, please leave a rating and review on the platform you're listening to this on. Once again, every week, we're going to read out and feature a few of my personal favorite reviews. And if you're looking to upgrade your sunglass game, don't forget to check out enemy.com. Honestly, the quality of these glasses for the price is insane. Just read the reviews. Gentlemen, stay awesome.